There you go. Okay.
We are in Simen Kuf Chaf Sif Yud. And these are the sugyas of actually owning the kli. So the Torah writes, the Yisuf quotes it at length, but the Torah really quotes the Machlokas. The Torah says, Yisrael shenasan kesef l'uman goy, masakin lo kli. So a Jew gives all the materials to a worker, a non-Jewish worker, to make him the kli. Right, so does it require tevila? So ein sar tevila, says the Torah, at least this first shot of the Torah, that doesn't require tevila. Why not? Afilu mandam uman kon b'shvach kli. Even if you assume this idea that an uman acquires when they acquires a vessel when they improve it. Right. So if you give the vessel to a non-Jew, to a worker, any worker, right? What is uman konel b'shvach kli or not? So there's a machlokus in the Gemara. Then it is further a machlokus amongst the Rishonim about whether they acquire the vessel. What does it matter whether they acquire the vessel? So we'll have ramifications for, you know, let's say you lose it, or let's say you break it. At what point do you break it? What kind of watchman are you on it? If it's negligent, non-negligent, those kinds of things. So are they actually an owner of it, or are they a... are they just a shomer of it? So that is a question that is out there.
So you're giving the clay to a guy.
You give him, well, you're giving him material. Metal, you're giving him raw material, and they're acquiring they're making it into a kli. So, so, and then they give it back to you, or you buy it, you know, then you pay them for their work. So are you paying them for their work, or are you paying them for the kli which they own? I mean, by giving them the material and them fixing it up, so are they actually gaining ownership of it and then selling it back to you? So what does it matter? So there are ramifications with that. This is not a sugya that is found in Avodah Zarah by Tevilas Kalim, well, in the Rishonim, but not in the Gemara itself. This is rather found in, you know, Baba Kama, Mitzvah, Baba Basra, in terms of overall discussion of Uman Kono B'Shvach Kli, but does have, but I think the application to Tevilas Kalim is pretty obvious, right? If you assume that they are just doing work for you, so then you are not purchasing it from them. But if you're assuming that they are actually owning it and you're buying it from them, so then you would require Tevilas Kalim, right? So feel. So here it's saying, however, I feel a man da'amar uman kona b'shvach kli kemi shalo nikra shem ha'goy alav. However, the first opinion that is quoted by the Torah is, no. It doesn't matter. That is, if they are, even if you, as long as you're giving the material and they're just fixing it, even if you assume this quote unquote uman kono b'shvach kli, you would still be able, you would not be required to do tevilas kelim on it. Why do we assume that? So, if you take a look at the Beis Yosef, so the Beis Yosef is quote, this is the opinion quoted from the Rush. This is really the Shitas Tosos and Shitas HaRush. So the Rush says it out loud. The Rush is about halfway through. It says Yud in parentheses Aleph, right? So I don't know how many lines, five, six lines
Rush,
in.
HaRush.
It'll say Bezer Lashonu HaRush, right? Hashem. This is in Avodah Zarah. The Rush appears in Avodah Zarah. Hanosin kesef l'uman goy. You give metal to, or silver to a non-Jewish worker, l'sakin lo kli, to fix you a kli. Yishai yirotzim lomar l'man damar uman kona b'shvach kli, toan tefila. There are those that want to say that if you assume uman kona b'shvach kli, so then it would require tefila. Right? So upligi ba amuroi beperka goes l'kama. Now that is a machlokas amuroi, meaning whether uman kona b'shvach kli or not is a machlokas in Baba Kama. Uva halachos the Bahag pasuk Rabbi Ashidamar uman kona b'shvach kli, right? And the Bahag paskins that yes, he is kona, and the Rif pasuk Rava the dachi hasam in uman kona b'shvach kli, and the Rif however paskins that you don't. However, and there he adds in the Bedek Avayis is like the second printing of the Beis Yosef, like what he added in the second time around. He says Venirat that filaman damar uman kona b'shvach kli. Even if you assume that uman kona b'shvach kli ain't sarach tevila, you're still not going to require tevila. Why not? Because it's never really called a goy's kli, and it's not like kli midyan. It's not like the paradigm that we have of tefilas kelim is the kelim that they got from midyan. The kelim that they got from midyan was their kli, and we're getting it. And if you only gave them the metal and they fixed it, now you're getting it back. So it's in odoma l'kli midyan. So that's the pshat of the rush, right? You don't require tefilas kelim unless it is similar to acquiring it from kli midyan. This would be a good time to mention. Alternatively, the what about this question that comes up? many people are thinking about. Gairus is a hot topic in the press right now, for better or for worse, but there is a question of when somebody actually converts, are they required to tovel all of their kelim, right? So we've had similar, these questions have come up, right? Is Bishul Akum apply to things that they cooked, right? Could they eat their leftover chilin from the previous Shabbos after they become Gairim, right? That's a question. Question two is, do they have to do Hagala on all of their Kalim? Right? Question number three is, do they have to Tovel all of their Kalim? So Lechora, so those that answer for all of them, yes, yes, and yes, right? That we've covered this when we talked about Hilchos Bishul Akum. Eating the food, I think, is more questionable. Doing Hagalas Kalim is not as necessary, although I've recommended you do it if possible. And then the third Kalim is
Hagalas because of Bishul Akum.
Yeah, Gullah would, well, if it's not kosher, it's not kosher. But yeah, if it's, it would be the Bishul Akum concerned. Right, so we pask in Lemaisa that you require to be less Kalim. We pask in Lemaisa that Hagullah is an issue by Bishul Akum. Right? However, the opinion of the Ra'ah that it's not is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, it's not like a far out sheet to say that shouldn't be a problem, and you combine it with some other things, so there's room to perhaps be leaned by Bishul Akum. So the compromise I make is things that are Hagullahable metal, you could do, China and stuff, if they happen to buy, I don't know, most Gairim aren't buying new China while they're still Gairim, but if such a scenario would show up, so I think one would have the right to be Makel and not require, and I'll tell them that they got to throw it out. The third question is by Tzvi'os Kim, do they require to Tovel all of their Kalim? So, there are those that say, yeah, I actually called up the author of this book, and his phone number, actually looked it up in the phone book and just found his phone number, called him. He said, yeah, he thinks it's fashion that they would. However, there are those that say, I think there is a the Sefer Shem Yishmuel, which is the second Shavar Revi, which is Sefer on Parsha, but In that Sefer, he actually quotes that he thinks that they wouldn't because of this Svar, because it's not Doma L'Kli Midyan. Somebody converting, and all of a sudden now all the vessels have gone from being non-Jewish to being owned by a Jew, right? So they didn't go by way of acquisition, it went by way of Gairus, right? So that perhaps isn't similar to the Midian, so there's room to say that they would require Tevilas Kalim. We pask, and they do. We pask, I've accompanied multiple Gairus to the mikvah, not just to Tovel themselves, but to Tovel their Kalim as well after they've already Toveled themselves. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Okay, so that is Shita number one. However, and that is what, even if you assume Uman Kon B'Shvach Kli, even if you assume they own the Kli, still you would not require Tevilas Kalim because it's not similar to Kli Midyan. Those are the words of the Rush. Comes the Ritzba, because I don't recognize him. What?
Back
in the tour, right? The Ritzba is quoted at length here in the Yisiyot, but the tour itself quotes right. Kasa that filuim no sein lo kli shavur the sakno. Even if it was a kli, and you just give him a kli to fix, which is a lower level than what was originally suggested, im lo ayam machzik revius kodem lachein. If it didn't hold the revius before that, meaning it didn't qualify as a kli before, v'siknu, and he fixes it shemachzik revius such that it does hold the revius now. Sarach tevila, it will require tevila. The kaimulan hakol holy chachar hamaimit, because we paskin everything follows the person who establishes it as a kli. Right, so the ritzba now is machmir. The Derech Moshe has a little bit of a discussion as what exactly the ritzba meant, but the ritzba, but he comes out with the explanation that we just gave. Right,
so, and the goy is making it a kli, so therefore. That's why.
I'm not sure how different it is if he takes raw materials and he forms a kli, or he somehow created a kli from something that was not a kli in the first place.
There's nothing. Yeah, right. That part's not a big deal.
In one case, it's okay, and then
No. The Ritz is machmir across the board.
Yeah. Across the board. So even the machmir even in the first case.
Especially. Section service will be, yeah.
Okay.
Right, the first case is the easier case. He's sinning. Even if it already was a kli and he's just fixing it, he's still going to be machler. Yeah, that is the machlokas. There is further, you see the pesach is pretty long on this, but that's probably good enough for us. So if you turn to the Shulchan Aruch, how does the Mechaber paskin on this? So it's an interesting question, right? You have the Rush against the Ritzvah. Right, so how does he paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch, straight out, paskins like the Rush. He says, well, the Rush made the big three. The Ritzvah doesn't make the big three. And that's it. There's nothing else. I mean, doesn't say it. I didn't get through the entire basis, but I didn't see any analysis there about how he paskins. But the Shulchan Aruch himself, he paskins like the Rush. In Sif Yud, Yisrael shenasim kesef l'uman ovi kochavim, a Yisrael that gives metal to a non-Jewish worker, lasos lumi menu kli, eino tzarech tefila, doesn't require tefila, ke mashmi Mordechai, even as in it's from the Mordechai, right? We had it from the Rush, the Mordechai is a little unclear what the Mordechai actually says. Okay, that is the Shulchan Aruch. Comes the Ramah and says, v'yish holkim, and there are those that disagree, right? Who's he quoting? Tur b'shem Ritzvah, right? Goes to the Ritzvah. And how do we resolve that when you have a machlokas in terms of tzvilas kalim? So, v'yish lo tovlo below bracha. So there are many that tovel, right, without a bracha.
The Ritzvah would want you to
tell a little
bit.
What?
Wouldn't
the Ritzvah would probably think that, yeah, you're Chayef, right? So how does the Ramah resolve this? So he says, well, Safik Doraisa L'chumra will be Machmir on the actual act, and we'll Safik Brachos L'hakim. And with regards to the Bracha, we're going to be Mekel, we're going to be lenient. So V'yish L'tovu V'lo Bracha is the ultimate conversation stopper when it comes to Tevilas Kalim, right? Except for when I think Tevilas Kalim was on the 6th grade girls curriculum at TA, so every year. So now this is going to be, I guess, the third year that I'm going to teach it, and I know now for this year that this concept, Tevila below Bracha, takes about 3 days to teach to 6th grade girls. There's so much involved with it, like they just have trouble getting it. I mean, haven't really learned the boys also haven't really learned Gemara, so the concept of math versus Kamehameha, right? So there's a lot involved there. So that concept for some reason takes a long time to teach. Okay, v'imiksas hakesef shenasim imenu hakli. So the Ramah continues: if some of the metal shenasim imenu hakli from which you made the kli shel ovikul chavim tzarech tevila, right? If the non-Jew actually owned the kalim, owned some of the metal, so then certainly you would require tevila, and it sounds like you would require with a bracha. Let's say a non-Jew makes one for a Jew, makes a kli for a non-Jew, and then decides to purchase it from the non-Jew, right? But he made it himself. But what do we say? Well, he's purchasing it from the non-Jew, so, you know, sorry, tough luck. It lost its Jewish status when you gave it to the non-Jew. Yet bilu, you have to total it. Gam kein below bracha, also without a bracha. Truth is, why you wouldn't require a bracha? I'm not even sure. Why would you not require a bracha? So the Shach says, because maybe you do actually follow the maker, I guess, even though you purchased it from somebody else, so the Shach says. So, im ha'ovik l'chav nasan kol ha'teitho, so the non-Jew gave all of the metal, aval im asu la'atzmo, but he made it for himself, rach shekana ha'mateichos, min ovik he just acquired the metal from the non-Jew, o shenasan miksas mateichos mishalo, ein tzarech tefilah. In that case, he would not require tefilah. So if he made it himself with just the raw materials given by the non-Jew, he would not have to make a, he would not have to be tovel that.
It was never a kli, by the way. Right.
It was never
Had it as a kli. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the issue I went to bring a Igros Moshe with me, but Rav Moshe deals with the issue of factories, right? Let's say you have a Jewish worker working for as a factory worker for but the factory is non-Jewish owned, or the opposite. You have a Jewish owned factory and the factory worker is not Jewish. So does that require tzvila? So Rav Moshe in the tshuva, Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelek Gimel. Question Dalit, I believe. There paskins that it would require it goes following the owner of the factory. The owner of the factory is the one that controls it, not the actual maker of the clay. So who did that in theory would have raised questions that are so he said, I mean, first he said, Ramosha actually writes, he says, in the Medinos, such as Japan and China, you could be pretty sure that the worker is not Jewish. But in places like Russia, so how do you know? But he said he doesn't think, he really thinks that it goes based on the owner of the factory, not the worker. Now, there is a further question of what if the factory, the worker himself, is not working as a worker, as a hourly wage worker, but rather working as a per diem. Is that what you would say? Per diem worker? Per object?
Well, because he's part owner of the company.
Per day.
Oh, per day. So per object. If he would be a koblin, that he's working per object, he's like an independent contractor, so to speak, based on the object. So there is a little more of a question there about who is the actual owner, but I think Rav Moshe, even in that case, says that no, it goes based on the overall owner of the company, not based on the individual worker. There is a further question that we discussed last time about a corporation. It's just a right, does a corporation mean that it's a corporation that's majority owned by non-Jews? So do we assume that's a non-Jewish company? Or do we assume that a corporation is just a non-entity? It's just a non-human entity, in which case we might be able to apply that idea of has to be Doma L'Kli Midyan, which maybe from a corporation it's not. But as he said, that there are those that are machmir like that and don't tovel anything with a bracha anymore. Is rumored that is the case. However, I don't think most have gone that far yet. Okay. Where are we now? Kuf Chaf Sif Yud Aleph. Okay, so the Beis Yosef doesn't add much. You know, so you just stay in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Yisrael shemachar kli lo'ovi kochavim v'chazer v'lachum imenu. So a Jew sells a kli to a non-Jew, then he buys it back from him. So in that case, sarach tvila. In that case, you would require tvila, right? Because you're buying a kli from a non-Jew. Aval imishkano biyado v'chazer upadu imenu ein sarach tvila. However, if he just deposits with him as a mashkon, and then he goes and buys it back from him, so then it would not require tevila. So there is a very important Pisgei Tshuva here, which sure you've probably heard before. See the Pisgei Tshuva Yud Gimel, where the Pisgei Tshuva adds in that v'lefize tzarech tevila v'lefize kishemocher hayoros l'ovi kochavim be'erev Pesach. When you sell the pots to the non-Jews on erev Pesach, right? So mishum chameit shetzarech. It's going to require tevila after Pesach. I mean, if you sell all of your pots, all of your chametz pots to the non-Jew, so guess what? Pesach is over, you're buying back from a non-Jew, guess what? That means that you have to do tevilas kelim on all of it. So why is it that the line outside the kelim mikvah is not out the door the day after Pesach? V'lachein mutav shelo l'machram. Therefore, it's better not to sell them. And he says, oh, that's why I saw in the Shiva Tzion, in the name of his father, in the Seder of Mechiras Chametz, right? So how do you not sell them? The answer is, we don't sell them. There's no Isser in owning blios of Chametz on Pesach, right? You don't have to sell the pots. You sell the Chametz that might be stuck to the pots, right? Or if there are pots that have Chametz in them, so you sell the Chametz that is in the pots, but you don't actually sell the pots. I believe that's explicit in the Chametz contract, that you are not actually buying the pots themselves, but rather only the Chametz that is stuck onto the pots. The chametz that is in the pots, meaning the absorptions, right? So that is not subject to Isser of Bali
Rabbah. So if a non-Jew wants to collect the thing that he bought on Pesach, he would have to come and get the pot and scrape off the chametz?
Yeah, I mean, most people don't have chametz. I mean, you're selling just in case, but most people aren't going to have that anyways.
In theory, yes. Yeah.
Okay. I heard a story, and Nancy says that very risky. That someone might actually took the
So there's a lot of rumors out there. I actually had heard
the same story. That was an issue. Every one person.
Oh, he did, really? That's true.
He had one gave him the keys, which means people went away, I think. One person would... He would go to one person's house.
Really? I've always had a half a minute to do that, but his piece was always so short. And but Mr. Churchill has been willing to do that, so we might one of these years we might show up. I had heard that about Rabbi Marcus in Staten Island, but when they hosted the Weiss Sheva Brachos, I asked Mr. Wienertz if he had heard that. He said he had never heard that before. So. The other story I heard about Rabbi Marcus, he said, was true, that apparently he used to give bridge tokens to anybody that would date girls from Staten Island. Because that's already, you know, to go out with a girl from Staten Island, you got to take the bridge in, you got to take her out, you got to bring her back, and take her back again. That's already, you know, $15. And then, you know, then, that was it. Now it's even more than that. Yeah. Right, that's already a significant expense. So he used to give out bridge tokens. Kaksha Shmati, he actually confirmed that. Yeah. What? Yeah, the Rabbi Yen is on Staten Island. Okay, so that is an important Piskei Tshuva that we should keep in mind. So about Mishnah Biyadav, so the second. Okay.
We're up to the Ramah that figured out.
Yeah, right, that's already the next section. Okay, so comes the Ramah and says, Yisrael v'ovi kocham shekanu kli b'shutfos ein tzarech tefil. So if a Jew and non-Jew in partnership own the kli, they are not required to do tevila on that, right? Why not? Why would they require, why don't they? So the Shach explains in Chafav why. Kfar Kasati, I already wrote the reason. In Chaf Beis, okay. Vetam, right? Mash, but the Hainu Shadayin Akli Miksasish Lovikul Chavim. Avalim Chazav Rakana Chalak Ovikul Chavim Tzarech Tefila. Right? That, because half the Jew, half of it's half Jewish, it can't be. The Kli is only half Jewish. Right? That can't be. So those require Tefilas Kalo. If you purchase the other half from the non Jew, from your partner, so then, guess what? It's then going to require Tefilas Kalo. Fine. So,
How does that practically work? I mean, why would you
own a business?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So he hasn't acquired the non-Jews half of the keli. So therefore, since he doesn't have it, therefore doesn't have to do tefillah.
Right.
But presumptively, is it just something they own? What if he uses it?
Yeah. I mean, so no, you don't have. I mean, if you're using non-Jews kli, so it doesn't. You're just not.
You're just borrowing it. It's okay to borrow. You don't have to do it to feel.
Right. If you go to a restaurant that's owned by a non-Jew, I'm not sure if we have. I'm not sure that any non-Jews that would be just an owner of a kosher restaurant. But if such a thing would exist, or you go to, we talked about the ice cream places, right? The Friendlies or Howard Johnson's, right? We learned, right? So there is a non-Jewish metal clay, and you're using it. There's no tefillas, absolutely no tefillas kelim there. Right? There's no hashgacha there.
Kosher Dunkin' Donuts.
Or a kosher Dunkin' Donuts. I'm not sure they have metal there. But yeah, the same concept, right? But you could also see the scenario if there's a non-Jewish partner in a kosher restaurant, right? So also, kelim wouldn't require tefillas kelim. So ein tzarech tefila aval sar o moshel sha'antz. One second. So here we have another case though. Yisrael sheganvu o gazlu mimenu kelim v'chuchsiru. Let's say a Jew had his kelim stolen, right? And then they were returned. So does he require tefillah at that point? So ein tzarech tefillah. The Rama says no, he doesn't. Aval sar o moshel sha'antz yisov v'lachu kelim. If you have some kind of officer or something that commandeered the Jew's vessels and took it from him and then returned it, so that would require tefillah. Why? The kfar nishtaku biyad ha'ovei kochavim, because that became like owned by the non-Jew, right? While when it was commandeered, it became owned by the non-Jew. So when it becomes stolen, it's not owned by the non-Jew. Well, I don't know. When somebody steals something, are they considered owning it? So generally, it depends on something called Yeish, right? This is a sugya in the beginning of Lulav HaGazal, right? So cover it for sukkah's time. But that requires whether the Jew gave up on it. The Jew gave up on it, so in theory it is owned by the non-Jew. So the Shach explains, a little bit more than that. So says the Shach in Chaf Zayin, Hatam, the Sar Omoshel. So why is it that, right, so why is it that by the Sar Omoshel you do have to do Tevila, but by the Ganav you don't? Right? It should just depend on Yeish. Says no. Because by the Shar Moshel, first of all, Vadai Nisya Ishmihem. You certainly have given up on getting them back. That's like it's totally his. For Lefizem, Hagneva Vahagzelehi, Beinyan Sheshamanu Shenisya Ishmihem, Tsarach Tvila. He says, so therefore, let's say if it was stolen in a way that you had no hope of ever getting it back, it would require tevila, right? So he's quoting that from the Ayin Tes Zayin. I'm not sure what that is. Below Nehira, he says, I don't think it's true. The Isravet is, and this is the, now the Shach is giving his pshat. The Isravet hata shahotzi menu harav dinze. Kasafatam, he says, the reason is to the Ganav Gazlan, Afal Pishan is Yaishu Ligamri. Even if you were totally misyaish, even if you never thought you'd be getting it back, Mayakr She'enan Rishayin Lahasik Bo Bipirsum. He says, the non-Jew who has it doesn't really fully own it. Why not? Because he can't openly use it. And therefore, because he can't openly use it, Lo Nikra Shem Ovikuchav Melan. It's not really called a non-Jewish. Click. He doesn't really gain full ownership. Why can't he publicly use it? Because the cops will catch him. I don't know. Right? That's the scenario that the Shach says the Ramah is talking about. He can't really openly say that it's his.
It's like stolen art.
What?
Stolen art. I mean, stealing a famous art object you can't put on display.
Right. So the question is if it's really true when it comes to silverware. But you can put it on eBay and sell it. The question is if it's really true. But at least he's saying that's pshat in the Ramah. Pshat in the Ramah is that the non-Jew who steals it doesn't really have full ownership of it because he doesn't have the right to really publicly use it. He's afraid he's going to get caught. So, however, the Shach continues. But if he gets to the point where he could publicly use it, right, in Sarfila Maviu of Dark Emotion, we like Amataz, Modulaza, Ella Shabal Lomar, Daaf Basar Omoshel, Lo Bai Tvila, Ella Mitaima de Mistoma Miyash Mehen, Bahavalini, Shtaku Biado Vikilchavim, Valimlonis Yash Mehen, in Sarfila. Perhaps if you never actually had Yeish on either one of them, you'd be able to, you wouldn't require Tvila. You really thought that you would be getting it back. In that case, according to both Shitas that the Shach quotes, you would not require Tvila, even if it was stolen or if it was commandeered, if you really had hope of getting it back, you would not require it to feel.
But if the guy commandeered it, he has no compunction about using it publicly, and
right. If you had Yeish, if you really needed to get in the back, so then you would require. However, the Shach is that again, if you didn't actually have Yeish, he said, I need this for dinner. And then he gives it back. Right? So you might have to do a hagala on it, but it would not require tefillah on it. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch adds in.
So hagala and tefillah. I mean, what is. Okay, hagala does what?
It removes whatever is not kosher that's in it.
And tevila is if it's owned by non-Jew.
Right, hagala makes it Jewish. Tevila makes it. Sorry, hagala makes it kosher. Tevila makes it Jewish. That's what I try to drill in. But that issue also drives six readers crazy.
Why is kosher?
Yeah, hagala.
Right. Yud Beis is just a quote from the Mordechai where he points out Tzarech l'hakil yudei kli, that you have to total the entire kli, not just the part that actually comes in contact with the food, including the handles. Right? So even the handles are crazy. So this gets into issues of if you have a pot that detaches. I noticed the, where did I see that? Was it in the Beis Yosef that he talks about pocket knives. Oh, that's actually in the next section. The next section where he talks about the pocket knives. Yeah, that's your gimel. I guess you could do your gimel. Your gimel is also pretty quick. Your gimel is tzarech lahavir hachaluda kodem tevila, that you have to remove the rust before tevila, right? It has to be totally clean. Nowadays, you could substitute the word rust for stickers, right? You got to get rid of the stickers before you do tevila. Being lo havir, and if you don't get rid of them, so imakbid alav chotzeitz. So if you are makbid on that rust slash stickers, I mean, you wouldn't want anybody to see it. You want to get rid of it, or you won't cook with it that way. So guess what? You would have to do tevila with it again, because that would be considered a chatzitza. Ki'im shifshet v'nasim b'gachalim. And let's say you rub at it, v'nasim b'gachalim, and you put it in coals, you heat it up, and still v'nisharan, and still the rust is still there, right? Like the ring in the can of the hat, right? It's still there. Can the hat comes back? Sorry, the sequel, not the original. V'nisharan, and it's still there. Ma'ak shalchul, a little bit of rust. Shelo yachalav, where you can't get rid of it. Ayidei kach in that way. Have a miyuto. She'inu makbet alav ve'inu chotzit. So that array is considered a miyut. One is not makbet on it, and therefore it would not be considered a chatzitza. Right? So these questions come up, right, with regards to, right, stickers. I can't get, you use Gugan, and you've used the scrubbers and the steel wool and all that stuff. You can't get it if, so off. So it depends. Are you willing to leave it that way forever and ever? So if you are, so then, okay, so you could total it that way as well. Zalowski also points out that there are, I'm not sure what he's talking about, but there are some glassware and stuff where people have to keep the sticker on, because the sticker is a sign of chashivas, it's a fancy company, right? So if that's the case, so you're going to actually keep it that way and serve and use it that way, so then you'd be able to total it that way as well and keep the sticker on it as well. So, yeah, these are... Good. No, so these are some of the issues. And, all right, I guess you can...
Scott,
yeah.
Part of the...